I just had to trust the Lord had someone prepared for me. I didn't need to bother, did I? What about those long conversations that just Miranda on? You don't talk about anything, but 2 hours later, you've had this amazing conversation. And do you remember the STDs of old days, the long distant phone calls and the $200 that you would spend talking to your loved one, let alone if you had an overseas girlfriend? All these things that you do in relationship when it's going perfectly, when you first fall in love, that rose-coloured glasses, isn't it? The bubble. I remember when Maria and I were preparing to get married, like Ben and Naomi, I was talking to Ben after the service last week, and he reminded me of this beautiful stage Maria and I were in before we got married. We went off to our pastor to do our marriage preparation course, and it got to the stage talking about conflict, and he said, "So have you had any fights?" And we were like, "Oh no, we've never had an argument." This was David Christian, and he kind of just politely nodded his head and he said, you know, I think he asked something like, "So how do you think you would deal with it if you would have an argument?" And, you know, I think honestly we sat there and we couldn't fathom ever having an argument. Why are you all laughing? Oh, Where did I put down my rose-coloured glasses? Where did they go? Wouldn't it be lovely if you can continue in a relationship in that fullness of love that just drives out imperfection, that just lifts up a person, exalts them as being this amazing person? There's no flaws in them. It's a beautiful state. Life's great, and the rose-coloured glasses are lovely. They come off, though, don't they? We've all been in relationships where maybe it hasn't gone so great. Maybe those rose-coloured glasses were only like a shade of pink or something. We do live in a world of brokenness where we see this brokenness foremost in our relationships. We were created, God created us in the beginning for this beautiful oneness in relationship where we can relate to him in this fullness of life and into one another. Adam and Eve were meant to be one together, this beautiful picture of relationship. Unfortunately, sin has stolen that from us, and now relationships are a little bit of hard work. Are there any perfect relationships out there? I'm not too sure. Except I read, it's kind of like a love letter. I found these letters. These people speak about each other like this. "You loved me before the foundation of the world. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. I and the Father are one." Isn't that a beautiful picture? "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What beautiful things to say about each other. Jesus says of the Father, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." This beautiful love letter, I guess, that we have in the Gospels about Jesus relating to the Father in perfect unity. This perfect relationship is seen in Jesus relating to his Heavenly Father. It's the what you would expect out of the Godhead, isn't it? This perfection, the Father, the Son, and next week we'll have Pentecost and we'll bring the Holy Spirit into the mix. This perfection of relationship, this oneness, the oneness of mind, oneness of intent. It's beautiful for the Godhead, but what about us poor mortals that have to continue to struggle through the imperfections that we have in relationship? Well, today's reading is a real encouragement for us. I don't believe Jesus ever commands us to do anything that's not possible. And so today, as he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Jesus paints a beautiful picture of that oneness that he has with his Father coming on to the disciples. They've experienced his love. It's a beautiful picture of how this love flows into the world. In our days, the love that the Father has for the Son is experienced in perfection between Jesus and God. And then that love is shared with his disciples into the world in perfection. When we look at Jesus, we see the love of the Father as we should all experience it. A love that's so deep that he would lay down his life for us. A love that is so deep that he wouldn't consider his own needs before ours. A love that is so deep that he would come into this world to save us so that we could be made whole in relationships. Jesus says that love that is between Father and Son, that's what he has shown to the world. And we see that in his ministry, don't we? How the Father shares his love around. He shares that love with the broken, those who are ill and sick, the dying. He blesses people, not only his Jewish people, but people outside of his own family. He blesses a centurion, a Roman officer. He blesses a Samaritan woman. His love knows no boundaries. He loves the despised. We heard that last week as the man by the pool, an unclean person, experienced no love in the world, no hope. And Jesus entered in and showed him the love of the Father, bringing him back to fullness of life. He's so full of affection for his friends that he'll cry at their death, at Lazarus' death. He weeps. Probably a pretty long sermon if I explained every incident of love that Jesus showed in the Gospels. This is God's love. It's for everyone. For the weak, the marginalized, those who seem cut off from hope. And that's good news for us because we experience that same love into our lives, don't we? When we fall short of the mark, when we're not the ultimate picture of love in our lives, when we fall into sin, God's love's still there for us. For broken people, God's love makes most sense. God's love is so deep that he would even die for us so that we could have fullness of life in Jesus' name. Jesus said to his disciple, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. His love was so deep for us that he saw us worth dying for. And in Jesus' death, he knows that his death clears our debt with the Father, so now that we can have a perfect relationship with the Father. It might not feel like it in our brokenness as we experience trying to relate to our Father, but our Father has a perfect love for each and every one of us. It's a love that can draw us out of our brokenness, a love that makes all the difference in our lives, isn't it? This is the starting point for Jesus' command to love one another. I don't know about you, but in my own strength, I find it a bit hard loving other people in fullness. It's good when they're being nice and right and kind and showing me love back and giving me lollies and all those lovely things. But the hard days, when things aren't going right, it's hard to love others, isn't it? So Jesus commands us to love one another as I have loved you. In this perfect love, God wants us to love one another. Is that a bit of a joke? As I look around here, Jesus, do you know who I'm working with here? But that's our call, isn't it? As disciples of Christ, is to love one another in this perfect love. Not half-hearted, not you know, 99% love, but perfect love, the perfect love that we've experienced that's brought us into fullness of life, into relationship with the Father. That's the love that Jesus wants us to invest into one another. It's a bit of a tall order, isn't it? Especially when sin and brokenness continue to hamper these relationships we have with one another. When we look at our own strength and in loving one another, we kind of think this is impossible. But that's the thing, isn't it? Jesus doesn't call us to love us each other out of our own strength in a worldly means. He calls us to a higher calling, doesn't he? Calls us to love one another out of the love that God gives us. When that's the seed of our love, when our relationship with our Father is fulfilling us, when it's intimate, when we're experiencing his love in a deep and meaningful way, isn't it so much easier to love those around us? I was talking to Sophia in the Faith Talk questions, and I asked her about that last question, how does Jesus help you love other people? She just said it really beautifully. She said, Jesus loves everyone, so I love everyone. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Children are a blessing. They help us get back to the core of it. Our personal relationship with Jesus is the core of being able to love one another. When we know how much the love of God has been poured out us in Jesus Christ, it inspires us to more. It inspires me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. It's that love that motivates me to keep going, that there's hope beyond brokenness, because I know there is. We're more than conquerors, aren't we, in the love of Christ? We can personalize that and say, yes, I'm right with the Father, but if it doesn't infiltrate into our lives, then I wonder how deep our love for the Father really is. As we look around at the people around us, you know, I love all you guys. You're easy to love. You're my congregation. But as you go out into the world, it is hard to love others. But if you see them through the lens, those rose-coloured glasses, those blood-stained glasses that Jesus Christ gives us, he's loved every single person in this world enough to die for them. And they need to know that hope, the love of the Father from them. And Jesus tells us that's going to bear fruit if we share that love with others. In our home group, we've been doing the Game Changer. What's it called? Jesus the Game Changer. There we go. And we've been looking at how Jesus has ultimately changed this world in the last 2,000 years. It's radically different because of so many things. But first and foremost, I believe through all these things that we're learning about, what are some of the things? Politics and forgiveness and yell them out. I'm having a brain block. Care, caring, relationships, leadership. And all these things is about relationship. And Jesus has ultimately broken it down in his love. It's the foundation of our Western civilization. This fruit that has bared up from these 12 men that bore his witness of love into the world, who testified that we're more than just broken people struggling in relationships. They shared with the world a love that will never fail, a love that will continue to bear fruit through us. And I don't know about you, but you know, as I struggle, as I step forward, as I use those tools Jesus has given me to love one another, it's amazing how it does bear fruit in my family. When Maria and I do now have arguments, surprisingly enough, it's the love of Jesus that draws us back together, where we confess our brokenness and say sorry, and we pronounce forgiveness over each other. That's a gift from Jesus. We get to share that unattainable love with others that doesn't demand that they love us back. the love and grace that we've experienced in Jesus Christ as our tools as we live out our lives in this world. In many ways, Jesus Christ lives in us. We might not see it, but first and foremost, it's experienced in our relationships. I don't know if there's any relationships that are on your heart and minds, relationships that are broken that you would like brought back to fullness, but I know in the strength of Jesus Christ, He can bring healing into that place. He can bring His love alive to bring fullness of life again. I pray over you this week that you can put your trust in this love that you've got from your Father, knowing that in Jesus Christ there's nothing that can separate you now from that love. And as you fathom the depth of that love over yourself, share it with others. Share it in the way that you interact, the words that you use, your heart condition for people, that you judge them worthy of your love because Jesus Christ first loved them. So I pray the Holy Spirit may stir you up in love, in His all-conquering love, so that your lives may reflect the love of Jesus Christ into this world. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.